bring you greetings from the West Milton Baptist Church from West Milton, Ohio. Certainly do appreciate the church's hospitality, too. I'd like to thank the church for putting us up. I always try and encourage everyone I can, the members of our church, and everyone I always meet to come. I said, you can't come to a conference any cheaper. They'll put you up and feed you, and spiritually as well as physically. So I'm always trying to encourage as many as I can to come and to all the conferences. Certainly do appreciate always the food, too, the ladies. And I know what it is, many years being a member of Home Baptist Church and the work involved. Do appreciate that. And certainly appreciate those who sung this special. It certainly is amazing love. And while we were yet sinners, He died for us. It's truly amazing. There are some amazing people that just stood up here, miracles in their lives. Amen. Special people to me. They weren't all from West Milton Church. There were some homers in the bunch there. But I love them. I love what the Lord's done in their lives. And I'd like to be able to stand and say, I could take credit for it, but it's the grace of God. Amen. It's the Lord who's worked in their lives, done the things that He has done. And certainly, we need to be appreciating of the love of the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like us to turn to Numbers chapter 32. We'll begin reading in Numbers chapter 32. We find here that the Lord's people, after refusing to enter into the promised land, and those all 20 years old and upward have died, they wandered in the wilderness. Now the Lord is speaking to those that were under 20 and those that have been born since. And He's telling them something here about going into the promised land. I'd like us to read here in verse 20. And Moses said unto them, if you will do this thing, and you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until He had driven out His enemies from before Him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. I believe it still is. Still is their land. But if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build ye cities for your little ones, and folds for your sheep, and do that which proceedeth out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commanded. And we'll stop reading there. You see, the first thing I wanted to look at is He said, if you will do this thing. If you will do this thing. In other words, He was saying, if you will follow my teachings and commands, you'll be blessed. But if not, in verse 23, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. One of the things that brought this to mind was coming home from work a little over a month ago, coming home in my dress clothes and looking at the lawn at the parsonage. I thought, well, I need to mow that. And I thought, well, should I go in and change my clothes? And I thought, no, I'll just go out there. I can certainly mow this lawn in my good clothes. And I went out there and got on the riding lawnmower. I'm not walking, I'm on the riding lawnmower. I certainly can do this. But you know what happened? Brought back a memory. And one of the things that I thought about memories is there's a lot of young people here, and I'm just tickled to death to see the amount of young people at this conference. For years, I brought my children to this conference, and I was always disappointed that there weren't more young people here. But I'm encouraged to see the amount of young people that are at this conference now. And especially when I see the choir and those that sing. Well, you know, young people, your memory can be a horrible thing sometimes. Memory can be a bad thing. The things that you can remember, you know, when we're little kids, we teach them when they're little to sing, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Yeah. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. And we teach them that when they're this age, when we should be teaching them when they're this age. We should be teaching them that all through their lives. They can get into more trouble at this age than they can at this age. And that doesn't just teenagers, that goes for adults and preachers and everyone else, that we need to be careful. And we live in a day and age where we can see more than any other generation, more filth and more corruption by what's on our television sets and what's on the internet and what's on billboards and what's on the magazines at the grocery store. We can just more filth enter in through this into this computer in here that we can't clean out. And we live in a time when we can get our hands on more filth. Things that we can remember that we can't just wash out of our memory. And we can go places. We have more ways to travel to get places and to go into more places of filth than any other generation. Certainly, what happened with me brought back a memory. You may laugh at this memory. But as I mowed the lawn and I got all done mowing the lawn, I thought, I did it. I'm done mowing. And then without thinking on that wet grass, I went down and I knelt down and looked at something. And the minute I did it, I thought, oh no. There's the stains of grass on my knee. But you know what I did? Is it brought back the memory of coming home from church at about 10 years old and wanting to go out and play right away, and my mom telling me, you don't go out to play until you change your clothes. Yes, Mom, I okay, sure. You know, but something happened. You know, went in here and felt gone. And it wasn't long, and either the neighbor kids or somebody came, and I forgot the warning from my mother. And it isn't long, and I'm out playing with the boys, and I fall. The minute I fall, I look down and I thought, what have I done? What have I gotten into? And you know what I did is immediately, I got to cover this up. So what I did is I snuck into the house. I snuck into the house and I snuck all the way upstairs to my bedroom and I got into them play clothes. And then I took them good clothes and I snuck all the way down to the basement. And I hid them in the dirty laundry with everything else. And then I thought, there. She'll just throw them all in and wash them, and then I don't got to worry about it. And I went out to play. Man, that's out of my mind. The whole next day, I go to school. I forgot about it. It was hid. My sin was hid. You know, but I came in the back door just like always. Mom, I'm home. The look on her face. My sin had found me out. The look on her face. There was a separation between me and her. Just like there is when we sin against the Lord. Our sins separate us. Well, you know, I confessed. It's hard not to confess when they're hanging right there in front of you, you know. And what I'd done. And I remember that she made it almost, I don't know if she did it in front of me in purpose, but I remember seeing her with the scrubbing away on them things. And I'm just thinking, oh, please come out. You know? And she washed them and she put them in the washer. And then when they came out, she said, might as well be play clothes now. I can't get them off. She hung those things in my closet. And I would go in every day to get in play clothes, and I thought, I can't wear them. They were there just as a reminder almost every day of my sin, if you will, hanging there in the closet. I thought, I don't think I ever wore them. I don't remember ever wearing them, but they were there, and I wanted to throw them away. I wanted to get rid of them. I didn't want to see it anymore. Memories. Memories can be painful. Yet they can be useful because they can keep you from doing it again. Most of us in our Christian walk have fallen at some point. Yeah. Fallen at some way. And you know what? You know when you fall. You know the minute. Just like when I fell on my knees. Just like when Peter was there and he denied the Lord. And the Lord turned and looked at him and he remembered what the Lord said. He remembered. However, as Christians, our desire should be to warn others not to fall in the same way that we did. To encourage others and to exhort one another not to fall into the same trap that Satan laid for us. Memories. Paul brought the church to Corinth to a memory. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I love reading this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. There's a whole lot of people that hold on to this fact that, well, I'm saved, so I'm going to heaven. You might be deceiving yourself if you don't care what you live like and have no desire to serve the Lord. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And that's certainly the day and age that we live in. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he brought a memory to them. He says, and such were some of you. Such were. You know, I love that because it's past tense. Such were some of you. But ye are washed. You see, the cleansing of the Lord, He can wash like no one else can. But ye are washed, are. Not only is it a past tense that you would such were some of you, but ye are washed already. But ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. That's who does it. Cleansing of the Lord. Yes, we may fall or we may have fallen. We may make mistakes. But He's there ready to forgive. Ready to do the laundry. Ready to wash with a stain and spot remover that we can't. It doesn't matter what you may have fallen into. He can get it clean. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 37, verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. In other words, he's saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. If you've been saved, he has a plan for you to walk, a way for you to walk. Well, we could read over in Jeremiah about it. We need to seek the old path. But it says here, it says, the steps of a good man, or one of those that the Lord has saved, are ordered by the Lord. And then it says here, and he delighted in his way. In other words, there should be a new creature, a new desire, once the Lord saved you, to find out what way the Lord would have you to walk. You know, I go back and I like when Brother Jones says, remember when you were saved? You know, he's done that a lot lately. That's good to go back. It's good to have those kind of memories too. And remember what you were washed from. And I go back and I remember when I was saved, and I remember how I was eager, and I love preaching to people that are newly saved and how they sit on the edge of their pew and they're hungry. I remember that. I remember walking and asking, and I may have even told you this before, in the early 70s when the Lord saved me in 73, I went to my pastor and I said, I want to know everything that I should do as a Christian. Just tell me. I can't wait. And he said, well, just wait till I preach it. And I said, I can't wait till I want to know if I'm doing something that's not right, tell me. Finally, I goaded him into it and he said, get a haircut. And I thought, because I had long hair, not real long, but long, shameful hair. And I was kind of like, whoa, because that was about my appearance, you know.
Yeah.
That hurt. You know, but I went home that Sunday afternoon. The Lord convicted me over it.
Amen.
And I found out there's no barber shops in 1973 that are open. But I finally found a beauty salon. You know, I went into a beauty salon, a teenager, and I said, cut it off. Make a men's haircut out of it. Come back Sunday night, proud as could be that I cut my hair. And what did he say? You did that on Sunday? waiting for my pat on the back. But, you know, I delighted in trying to please the Lord. When I knew that there was something wrong with what I did, I wanted to find out what it was.
Amen.
Verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That's one thing about the fact that when we're saved, I remember Brother Jones preaching, not out. It's amazing what the message is that the Lord puts in here, memories. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down or cast out. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. He is ever merciful. He lendeth his seed, is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell evermore. In other words, he's saying, learn from your mistakes. Depart from it and do good and dwell evermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. For the law of God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. In other words, we should learn. We should learn from our mistakes. We should have his law in our heart that we not slide or fall again. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him, and the Lord will not leave him in his hand. Satan's always there. Boy, he's just putting on an onslaught out there to destroy Christian homes and Christian families any way he can. The Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. In other words, we as Christians should not only set Christ as our example, but we should also look at those who are our teachers and our examples in the church, those who have experienced, and learn from them. Learn from them when they say, don't go out and play in those clothes. You're going to fall. Something will happen. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. He can wash. He can cleanse. The Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Now, I read past this pretty fast, and I want us to go back and look at verse 30. In verse 30 there it says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. You know, as those who have fallen or those who have experienced it, they should speak wisdom. They should talk of judgment, of things that will happen. Those who have fallen should encourage others not to fall. But yet, I hear so many times, just leave them. I'd leave them. Or I'd leave her. Or if it's me, I'd divorce them. Church members, encouraging. Even pastors, encouraging. Why not encourage them to go out and fornicate? Don't do that. Why not encourage them to go out and drink or steal? We don't do that. But when it comes down to situations, many times it's just, well, I just, you know, go out and commit adultery. That's the only way I see how. We should be warning as church members, as pastors. Many times we won't listen. We won't even acknowledge that we've fallen. Turn with me over to Jeremiah chapter 2. I remember hearing my pastor, he'll always be my pastor, preach from these verses. In verse 34 of Jeremiah chapter 2, also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the four innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. You see, the Lord's going to find out everything. He knows everything. He sees everything. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall be turned from me. In other words, well, I'm not guilty. I'm not the guilty party. He won't be angry with me. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger is turned from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. So many times we fall and we don't even want to acknowledge that we've fallen. I'm innocent. Or we do just like I did with my pants. We try and hide it in the dirty clothes with everything else. Just like Achan did. What he done is he took that Babylonian garment and that wedge of gold and that silver and he hid it in the dirt under his tent. No one will know. God saw it all. God knew. Many times we seek the company or the advice of those in the same condition trying to justify ourselves. You know. Here in Jeremiah chapter 3 in verse 11, it says, the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. That's what many times we think that being amongst other people, that there can be comfort in it. Being along with the lost, you can't do that and not get soiled. You can't go out there and be among them and not get dirty. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And there's a lot of evil communication out there. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? The old saying, you can't play with fire and not get burned. I don't know how many times I grew up and I got burned playing with fire. I loved all the boys like play with matches and firecrackers and all those kind of things. And boy, I got burned. Just the simple things of logic. Oh, I'll never fall. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. David thought that he had his sin all covered up. He thought he had done everything to cover up his sin. But God saw it all. Be sure your sin will find you out. Companionship with those in the same condition is little comfort and certainly will not last. True comfort or true peace comes from being washed. Knowing that you're clean with no stains left. You see, such were some of you, but you're washed. Washed already. I'm sure that, you know, when I thought about it, I thought, how silly that I can still remember that incident with those pants. I thought I could get on the phone today and I could call my mom in Florida and say, do you remember that? And I thought, she'd probably say no, even if she did. Yeah. But with four boys, she probably couldn't remember which one it was that did it anyway, because I'm sure we all did it. But as I thought about that, I thought, she probably forgot, but I still remember. Sins are in there. But the wonderful thing of it is in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, he says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Isn't that a wonderful thing that once he does the laundry and washes you, he don't remember it anymore. It's cleansed as far as he's concerned. We may see the stains of sin in our lives because they're in here, but he washes them clean. One of the things he told the lame man when he healed him, he says, you're whole. Go and sin no more. Don't keep doing those things because you're washed. Paul told the man in there in the Ephesians church that him that stole, steal no more. Because you're washed. And Jesus told the woman when they brought the adulterous woman to him and they said, well, shouldn't we stone her right here? And he said, that one that's without sin, let him first cast a stone. And then when they all left, he said, where are those? And she said, yeah, there are none. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You're washed. You don't have to continue doing those things. You see, such were Past tense. We're to be different. Such were some of you. Past tense no longer. Because we're washed. As I thought about that, I thought, what could be better Thanksgiving type message to be thankful for than to come here and know that you're washed?
Amen.
Turn with me to Psalms chapter 51. We read here David's plea to be washed. Verse 1, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." You see, his sin was right there dangling in his closet, if you will. And he knew it. He says, those arrows that he set over in Psalms chapter 38 stick fast. You know, the arrows of sin. Let's turn there and read that. Hold your place here and let's read in Psalms 38 it is. In verse 1, he says, "O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thine hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me." The Lord doesn't miss. "Mine iniquities," in verse 4, "are gone over my head. They are a heavy burden for me. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease, the stains of sin." But you see, in verse 17, he says, "For I'm ready to halt. I'm ready to quit." The Lord brings you to that point in time when he shows you your sin. And he says, "I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me, for I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin." You see, that's where the Lord brought David to. Showed him those stains of sin in his life. And then David said, "Wash me. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in my sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee."
Amen.
You see, when we get washed up, then we can go out and be a testimony. Then we can say, "Look how he cleaned me up and took care of my sin." Then we can go and be a testimony. We can be, as Isaiah said, "Though our sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow." Those stains can be completely removed. Turn with me over to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. In verse 1 it says, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan." Satan's trying to point out the stains. "The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this the brand plucked out of the fire?" And Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And unto him he said, "Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with the change of raiment." Oh, it's a wonderful thing that the Lord can do. Robes of righteousness we could read about over in Isaiah. But turn with me to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 and just read this portion of this verse here. This is the detergent that cleans all. Unto him that loved us, and that's why. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Amen.
In his own blood. I've got to read a couple verses in the book of Jude. You know, when I think about it, I don't know a whole lot about diamonds. I bought some. Not enough, probably, according to my wife. But I remember going to the jewelry store and looking at them stones, and they would put them all out there in front of me, and they'd say, this one's got imperfections in it, this one's got a little less, and this one's this, and they got down to this one that they wanted a lot of money for, and they said, it's perfect, it's flawless. I couldn't see a difference in any of them, other than the price tag. And I looked at them, they said, here, look at them through this, you know, and I looked at them and tried to act like I knew what I was doing. And I finally selected one. I didn't take the flawless one. I couldn't afford it. But you know, in Jude verse 24, look at this. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. I can't begin to imagine that someday he is going to present me faultless, completely cleansed, washed, justified, sanctified before the presence of his glory and do it with joy. And do it with joy. You see, such were some of you, but you're washed.
Amen.
You're washed.
Amen. Aren't you glad that's so? Amen. If you don't know about that by experience, you can by the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood.